Robert Sandy had operated on many different kinds of undergraduate during his years at Oxford's General Hospital. The eldest son of the King of Agrabah, however, was the first whose blood could be described, at least metaphorically, as blue.
Well, you've made a remarkable recovery, Your Highness. Quite remarkable. I don't think I shall need to see you again after today.
Thank you, Mr. Sandy. That's excellent news. I do wish you'd change your mind, though, and permit me to pay you a fee.
I'm sorry, Your Highness, but you know my rule. I've never taken a fee from one of my patients, and I hope I never shall.
Not even, he might have added, one whose father was richer than Midas.
I work entirely for the National Health Service, and they pay me a very fair salary.
But damn it all, Mr. Sandy, I owe you my life.
Nonsense. I just patched you up a bit after a car crash, that's all. Any competent surgeon would have done the same.
You will never convince my father, the king, of that. In his eyes, you are a hero. He asked me to say that if you won't take a fee, you must at least accept a small gift.
That's awfully kind, but there's really no need.
You mustn't say no, Mr. Sandy.
The prince's eyes widened a little in horror.
My father would view it as a very grave insult. No one refuses a gift from the king.
Do they not? Oh, dear, you're making things awkward for me, aren't you?
Not in the least. Just think of it as a birthday present. That's it. An early birthday present.
An early birthday present.
Robert knew when he was beaten.
Oh, very well, then. I don't suppose there's any harm in taking one of those.
Excellent.
As long as it is only a small one, though.
You need have no worries on that account, Mr. Sandy.
The prince smiled mischievously and reached into his jacket pocket.
It's really not very large at all.
Hello, darling. You're back early.
Am I? Yes, I rather suppose I am.
Robert found his wife in the kitchen when he got home, packing glass jars into a basket.
We're spending the weekend at the Renshaws. Ooh. You hadn't forgotten, had you? I thought I'd take Margaret some of my homemade jam.
Homemade jam? Good idea. Everybody likes jam.
Are you all right, Robert? You seem a little distracted.
Pour me a drink, would you, Betty?
He went and sat down at the kitchen table.
A nice big one with plenty of ice. You'd better pour one for yourself as well.
It's a bit early for that, isn't it?
You're going to need it when you've heard what's happened. I've got some rather good news.
Betty quickly mixed them both a whiskey and soda. As she crossed to the refrigerator to get the ice tray, she glanced over at her husband. Although he was trying to stay calm, he was clearly very excited. It was all slightly odd.
You remember that young student I told you about, the prince who crashed his car?
Yes.
He came in for a checkup this morning. He said that his father wanted to give me a gift for looking after him.
Quite right, too. Your drink, darling.
Oh, thank you.
So what did he get you? A nice case of wine?
No, that's what I was expecting. But no, he was altogether more generous.
He took a small leather pouch out of his jacket and, with his long, delicate surgeon's fingers, pulled back the drawstring and placed the contents on the kitchen table.
Robert, no! It can't be.
But it was. The king had given Robert a diamond. A small but perfect, utterly ravishing, pure white diamond.
I popped into Harry Gold's on my way home. You know, the jewellers on the high. I thought poor old Harry was going to have a heart attack when he first saw it. He said he'd never seen one quite so flawless.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Hold it up to the light. That's it. Can you see the faintest trace of blue? All the best white diamonds have it. They're known as D-types in the trade.
Robert was enjoying showing off his newly acquired knowledge.
Ours is called a pear shape. Round at the top, but tapering to a needle-sharp point at the bottom.
It must be worth a fortune.
Have a guess. Go on, I dare you.
I don't know. At least 10,000.
And the rest?
You mean more?
Considerably more. Harry said that if it went to auction, it should fetch at least £1,000,000.
£1,000,000? You're joking.
And that's a conservative estimate.
£1,000,000. Just think what we could do with all that money. Are we allowed to sell it, though? Or would the king be dreadfully offended?
We can do whatever we want with it. The prince said so this morning. It's ours now.
Oh, imagine it, Robert. We could get Diana out of that horrid little flat.
Yes, and into a brand new house. Oh. And we could pay for John to finish his medical studies.
Almost uniquely for the surgeon, Robert had never much cared about money. Now that he had some, though, he found he rather enjoyed planning how to spend it.
And What about that holiday we always promised ourselves?
For more than an hour, they planned their itinerary.
The terracotta army!
Then Betty suddenly glanced at the clock.
Look at the time. I told the Renshaws we'd be there by 7.
Well, we'd better get a move on then. I'll go and get changed.
But what about the diamond? What are you going to do with it?
Well, I don't know. Take it with me, I suppose.
Take it with you? Don't be silly, darling. You wouldn't relax for a moment. You must go straight to the bank and lock it in a safe deposit box.
But it's Friday evening. The banks won't be open again until Monday morning.
Damn, I'd forgotten that. We'll just have to hide it then, here in the house.
But where in the house? Where could they hide a £1 million diamond?
In the teapot, perhaps?
Too obvious. The first place a burglar would think to look.
Or under the mattress?
Even worse.
Oh, but yet, why don't we bury it in the potted azalea?
That was better, but no, the pot could get knocked over, exposing its precious contents. In the end, it was Betty who came up with the perfect solution.
I know what we'll do. We'll hide it in the ice tray.
The ice tray?
Why not? We'll put it in one of the empty compartments, cover it with water, pop it back in the fridge, and in an hour or so it'll be frozen inside an ice cube and impossible to see.
Oh, that is a wonderful idea. You are a genius, darling, a sheer, unadulterated genius.
And he leapt up from his chair and gave her a kiss.
Come on, let's do it at once.
Before they left home, they returned to the kitchen and took the ice tray out of the refrigerator.
Look at that, frozen already.
Robert marvelled again at his wife's ingenuity. Encased inside the cloudiness of an ice cube, the diamond was, to all intents and purposes, completely invisible.
Do you think we ought to tell the Renshaws about our good fortune?
Best not. It's such a fantastic story, and you know how loose-lipped Margaret can be. We wouldn't want it getting into the papers, would we?
No.
Robert nodded his agreement, and with a last lingering look, returned the ice tray to the refrigerator.
I don't suppose we would.
Robert and Betty enjoyed a perfectly pleasant weekend at the Renshaws. They had forgotten, though, that their hosts were vegetarians, and by the time they got back, they were longing for meat.
You take out the luggage.
Right.
I'll go and make us both a nice bacon sandwich.
Lovely.
Betty went through to the kitchen, turned on the light, and almost at once she started to scream.
Oh, my God, no!
By the time Robert reached her, his wife was in tears.
Oh, look, Robert. Look what they've done.
The kitchen had been wrecked, totally wrecked. There were broken jars and bottles everywhere. Food had been smeared all over the walls and trampled into a disgusting mush on the floor. And in the centre of the kitchen table stood every bottle of alcohol in the house, all of them empty and some of them smashed.
You wait here. I'll check the other rooms.
When he came back, his expression was grim.
Same story, I'm afraid. They've torn apart the entire place.
Oh, no.
The refrigerator door was hanging half open. Its contents had been pulled out and ground underfoot with the rest of the goo. Even the plastic shells had been added to the thick layer of slush, and the ice tray had been snapped in half and thrown aside.
Oh, Robert, do you think they found our diamond?
Huh? What, hidden inside an ice cube? I shouldn't have thought so. I expect we'll discover it under all that muck on the floor.
Well, I'm not going down on my hands and knees to look for it. I feel sick. Physically sick.
I know, darling, so do I. We'd better call the police.
Yobbles. Hooligans. Street trash. That's who vandalised your house.
The police sent round a short, stocky detective inspector with a thick black moustache.
See, they look for somewhere empty, and when they find it, they smash their way in. Tell me, was there much booze on the premises?
Oh, the usual. Whiskey, vodka, a few cans of beer.
They'll have polished the lot off, then gone on the rampage. Drink and destruction. That's all thugs like them care about.
They weren't thieves, then? You don't think they've stolen our diamond?
No. No, I'd wager a month's salary that it's still here somewhere. Oh. Under all the mess. Don't worry, Mrs. Sandy.
He smiled tightly and snapped shut his notebook.
You'll get it back.
Robert returned to work the following day. There was nothing more he could do at home, and he needed some distraction. He removed a non-malignant growth from an old man's prostate, then went through to the surgeon's restroom to telephone his wife.
Any more news on the diamond?
The police came back again and conducted another search, but they still couldn't find it.
Oh, dear. It looks like those vandals took it after all. They must have spotted it when the ice cube thawed.
Just then, a jolly young registrar named Haddock poked his head round the door.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Sandy, but they've just brought down the small intestine.
No, don't worry, I'm on my way.
Haddock smiled and nodded and went to scrub up.
Listen, darling, I'm due back in theatre, but before I go, I want you to promise me one thing. You won't let all this get you down.
I'll do my best, Robert. But it won't be easy.
Of course it won't. But there's no point in crying over spilt milk, is there? We just had some very bad luck.
Yes, I know. £1 million worth.
Robert's next patient was a 17-year-old with a piece of bone lodged somewhere in his small intestine. With Haddock's help, Robert opened him up, gently lifted out a section of his gut, and began feeling along it with his fingers.
I expect it's just a fragment of chicken bone, very routine stuff.
As they worked, they discussed some of the incredible things they'd found inside patients' bodies. Haddock trotted out a well-rehearsed story about a light bulb and a classics don, but Robert was easily able to top it.
I once saw a dozen tiny live fish in a travel writer's bladder.
Oh, come on, you're pulling my leg.
No, ask Brian Goff if you don't believe me. He saw them too.
By now, Robert had more than 3 feet of intestine spread out on a sterile plastic sheet.
The poor devil had gone for a dip in the Amazon, and one of these microscopic fish they have out there must have swum up inside him and laid its eggs. Ah, got it.
Got it? Got what?
The source of this boy's trouble. Here, feel for yourself.
Haddock took the pale grey piece of intestine between his fingers and gently pressed.
If you look carefully, you can see where the piece of bone has punctured the mucosa. It's already inflamed.
Yes.
Robert made a small incision and, using a pair of forceps, probed down until he found the offending object. He brought it out and dropped it into a small stainless steel bowl. It was covered in brown gunge.
Chicken bone. Must be.
He took it over to the sink in the corner and, whilst Haddock sewed up their patient, washed it carefully under the tap.
Well, I'll be damned. It wasn't a chicken bone after all.
And he held it up between his finger and thumb.
Well, I think someone had better call the police.
A young man's stomach?
Betty's eyes were wide with astonishment.
You found our diamond in a young man's stomach?
Yes, and in this case, finders keepers.
Robert rolled the diamond backwards and forwards in the palm of his hand. Despite where it had been, he still found it lovely.
He must have swallowed it the other day when he ransacked our house.
But Robert, I don't understand. How could anyone swallow a diamond and not even notice?
Well, that, my darling, is for the police to find out. But the next time he breaks into somebody's property and drinks all their booze, I think I can promise one thing.
And he glanced briefly at the refrigerator and smiled.
He won't want to add any ice.